My Uncle Geoffrey died yesterday. He was 87 years old. My Uncle Geoffrey was my mum's wee brother. Or, to be more clear, my mum's weeest brother, as in my mum had two wee brothers, and my Uncle Geoffrey was the weeest of them, as in my Uncle Geoffrey was 12 years younger than my mum. If you have a wee brother, you will know what they're supposed to be like. But my Uncle Geoffrey was not my wee brother. He was my teenage uncle, so my Uncle Geoffrey was cool and not just cute. I have a well-preserved collection of early memories of my Uncle Geoffrey from the late 1950s to the early 1960s. The earliest of these memories in this collection of early memories must have been in 1956, when I was 3 or 4 years old. It goes like this. Early one morning in my granny's kitchen, my Uncle Geoffrey was putting on his Belstaff jacket, and then he went outside into the lane behind the air raid shelter, where my mum used to go when the Germans were dropping bombs on Norwich. And I followed him. And in the lane behind the air raid shelter, my Uncle Geoffrey was kick-starting his Triumph motorcycle. And then my Uncle Geoffrey went roaring down Beach Drive to Unthank Road on his Triumph motorcycle. And I ran after his roaring Triumph motorcycle because I loved the noise of the roaring. And my Uncle Geoffrey went roaring off to his apprentice ship. I did not know what an apprentice ship was, but I assumed it was something to do with learning to sail ships, because I knew my Uncle Geoffrey liked to sail boats on the Norfolk Broads. And now that he was nearly a man, he would want to be sailing ships at sea and not just sailing boats on the Norfolk Broads. I knew that when I became a man, I wanted to sail ships across the seas and the oceans like my dead grandad had done and my dead grandad's dad had done before him. My living grandad was already teaching me how to sail model sailing boats on the pond in Eaton Park off Unthank Road in Norwich. I will now scramble forward to the last of these early memories. It was when my Uncle Geoffrey came to stay with us in our house in Newton Stewart, which is in Galloway, which is in the far southwest of Scotland. This was in the early spring of 1962. With him was his new girlfriend. The girlfriend had the same name as a film star. This did not make sense. I thought Marilyn Monroe was the only Marilyn in the world, and that Bridget Bardot was the only Bridget in the world. There were no Marilyns or Bridgets in my class at school, or for that matter, in the whole of our town. But this new girlfriend of my Uncle Geoffrey was also called Bridget. Maybe she was a film star, as well as my Uncle Geoffrey's girlfriend. Now, I have to take a small detour. I like to wander. I've often had an issue with destinations. I mean, destinations get in the way of where you want to go. As in, it is best not to know where you want to go, thus being able to arrive somewhere that you had no idea about, whereas destinations are just places that have already been defined, even if only in the imagination. And I like to wander in the Galloway Hills. My Uncle Geoffrey said he was up for a bit of a wander, but he also wanted a destination. A compromise was arrived at. The destination would be the summit of the Merrick being the highest mountain in the Galloway Hills. I had never wandered to the summit of the Merrick. Its summit only existed as a mythical peak in my imagination. So, Uncle Geoffrey, my big sister and I drove off in my dad's car, a pale green Austin A30, from our town of Newton Stewart up to Loch Trool in the Galloway Hills. There, we parked the car by Bruce's Stone, as in the monument to mark where Robert the Bruce won his first battle for Scottish independence against the English back in 1307. This was 7 years before Robert the Bruce won the Battle of Bannockburn in 1314 against the English, and independence was achieved. After touching Bruce's Stone, we started our ascent, and after about 3 hours of climbing, we reached the summit. In my head, I was Tenzing climbing Everest. But unlike Tenzing climbing Everest, someone had got to the summit of the Merrick before us, as they left some of their baker's pie on top of the Trig Point. I loved Trig Points, and I loved eating baker's pies, but nowadays they call them Scotch pies. And nowadays, the people that make maps no longer need Trig Points, because they have satellites. I wanted to eat the remains of this baker's pie, but my big sister said I couldn't. And I did what my big sister told me. That is what big sisters are for. To tell you what you could and should not do. Anyway, we sat down with our backs to the Trig Point, and I ate my Spam Peace that my mum had made for me. Peace being the word we used back then for sandwich. Like I said, I love a Trig Point. Love them almost as much as I love an ordnance survey map. My Uncle Geoffrey had the Ordnance Survey map of the Galloway Hills with him, and he showed us where we were and how the Merrick was part of a small range of hills called the Range of the Awful Hand. I loved that name. I wanted an awful hand. Maybe I could get one for my birthday. I was soon going to be turning 9. But then it was time to start our journey back. I then gobbled the remains of the baker's pie when my sister wasn't looking. Big sisters exist so you can do things when they are not looking. It was on that journey back that some snowflakes began to fall, and then lots began to fall. I like things to fall, be it an apple or an empire. And a blizzard started to blow. I had never been in a blizzard before. I loved this blizzard. It was like we were in the film Scott of the Antarctic. I loved that film. My Uncle Geoffrey was obviously playing the part of Scott himself. My sister must have been Captain Oates, which meant I had to be Taff Evans, as in the junior in the team, attempting to get to the pole before the Norwegians. The people that left the baker's pie at the summit of the Merrick must have been Roald Amundsen and his Norwegians. But we could no longer see the footpath. My Uncle Geoffrey unfolded the Ordnance Survey map that he was using in an attempt to get us back to base camp, the Parktop, pale green, Austin A30. But my Uncle Geoffrey could not see any of the landmarks on the map around us, because all there was around us was blizzard. And then the blizzard tore the map out of my Uncle Geoffrey's hands, and the map was swept away, and we could not see it anymore. And we were lost. I love being lost. Getting lost is one of the best things that you can do. It means you are in a place that you have never been before in your life, and you might never get back to where you came from, and you don't know what is going to happen, and not knowing what is going to happen is one of the other best things in life. Maybe we would freeze to death, like they did in Scott of the Antarctic. That would be amazing. I did not know of anyone in my school who had ever frozen to death. But after a couple of hours of being lost, my Uncle Geoffrey found a path back, down to Bruce's Stone in Glentrow. And like I did every time I visited Bruce's Stone, I started to imagine it was 1307 and I was one of Robert the Bruce's men fighting in the battle. And I started to think that maybe I should kill my Uncle Geoffrey because he was English before he killed me. And then I thought, if I was to kill him, would I have to kill my mother as well for being English? And I didn't want to kill my mother, even if she was English. After about another hour, we got back down to Bruce's Stone and the car, and we drove back through the blizzard to our home in Newton Stewart. That night, as I lay in bed, I thought that must have been and will be one of the greatest days of my life. And watching the blizzard rip the Ordnance Survey map out of my Uncle Geoffrey's hands was the pinnacle moment of the day. And I know if it were not for my Uncle Geoffrey, none of that would have happened. And I will be eternally grateful to him and that blizzard for all of that happening. And I am glad I did not kill him when we were on the final descent, even though he was English. There were other things I learnt from my Uncle Geoffrey in later life, like how to catch fish in English rivers and not Scottish rivers. Learning how to catch fish in rivers teaches you how the world works. And my Uncle Geoffrey taught me why people read newspapers and why people stopped reading newspapers. But those stories can wait for other times. Yesterday, my cousin Joe phoned me to tell me his dad had died. His mum is the Bridget who is yet to become a film star. And his dad was my Uncle Geoffrey, who never went to sea, but learnt lots of things about newspapers and was the last of my mum or dad's families to remember things like German bombs falling on Norwich or driving a pale green Austin A30 up to Glentrow. Postscript. In the past 10 minutes, my wee brother has just listened to me read out the above. He was concerned about the anti-English section and wanted to know if I was just making it up. Well, I guess I had no real plans to kill my Uncle Geoffrey, but I did often have recurring fantasies about being in the Battle of Glentrow back in 1307, killing English soldiers. And he asked me how and why. Now, my wee brother only ever did primary one in our hometown before we flitted, so he was not exposed to what I told him next, as in, about the day-in, day-out nationalist nature of our primary school education, where the only history we learnt was that of Scotland, especially in relationship to England, and how on the 23rd of July, 1637, Jenny Geddes threw her stool, thus instigating a religion by the people, for the people, and not by the kings of our foreign lands to control the people of our land. And how the Scottish Enlightenment taught the people of Scotland, and in turn, the world, how to think beyond and further, and how James Watt invented the steam engine, and Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone, and John Logie Baird invented the television, then John Reith invented the BBC, and in so doing, invented the greatest three-word strapline of all time. Inform, educate, entertain, and how it was us Scots that made the British Empire work, even if it were the English that did the swanning about on the top deck, as in the Starship Enterprise would have crash-landed before it reached the moon if Scotty did not know how to make the unknown known and fix the engine at the same time. And all of this set in motion by Jenny Geddes throwing her stool on the 23rd of a month. If you want female empowerment, Jenny Geddes is a good place to start. I'm glad to say that I've been able to shake that sort of nationalism off and accept that the Scots were as much to blame for evils of the British Empire as those swanning about on the top deck. And anyway, my mother being English meant that I was technically half English, whatever prejudices I had been indoctrinated with in primary school. Thus, not only did I not in reality want to kill my Uncle Geoffrey, I was also aware that if it were not for him, my big sister and I might never have got down that mountain to the safety of the pale green Austin A30, built in Longbridge, Birmingham, waiting for us by Bruce's Stone. Then I told my wee brother that I had a conversation with our Uncle Geoffrey just a year or so ago about the day climbing the Merrick, and he told me that was one of the worst days of his life. He thought we were all going to die, and it would have been his fault. I don't know if he took any comfort from the fact that I told him it was one of the best days of my life. But I would like to tell you that now, and I will be eternally grateful to my Uncle Geoffrey for that day happening the way it did.